These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
There he is in the flesh from Phoenix. Let's hit you with some wake up music right now, Kyle.
Right here.
Yeah.
They did it,
the
baby.
Wolves are back. He may or may not have slept. He certainly, I have no doubt, took in the sights and sounds of Phoenix after the Timberwolves won their first playoff series in 20 years.
Mm. Coming to you live again Monday morning from Phoenix. The Wi-Fi is terrible. I can barely see my screen. No, last night, yeah, I don't know where to start, but I will say that because I want to shamelessly plug this one. See, I spent 2 hours last night after the game. We said bleep it to transcribing. We didn't do it. We just came back right after the game, had 1,000 beers, and me, Britt, and Dane did like a 2-hour pod. So go check that one out and support that. But you know, Phil, we talk a lot on this show about not just this team, but I think just Minnesota sports in general. This score is, I think, the best place for Minnesota sports coverage. And I think as you get older, your things change, your tastes change, your emotions change. I mean, you just have more life experiences. So it's not hyperbole. It's not hyperbole for me on this one. Last night was the greatest sports moment of my life. Get the flag. It was incredible to see how loose they were before the game. It was incredible to see. You know, that the Suns actually did play hard last night. The Suns, that was the Phoenix Suns that you have seen during the regular season for the most part, other than Bradley Beal, who would be damned if he ever got swept. Well, enjoy that damn, yeah, well, buddy. So
I need to do some digging on the Wizards' history.
Bradley Beal
of
was
avoiding
so
sweeps.
Bad last night. He was terrible. He is stealing money from the NBA. He at one point had 7 points and 5 fouls. He wanted nothing to do with Anthony Edwards. He wanted nothing to do with Frank Vogel. He wanted nothing to do with that court.
That big Wizards energy was coming through strong last night.
Yeah, big Wiz energy for sure. Just to see, you know, we can get into it. I know you tweeted out last night and you and Judd talked about it. Not the best game Karl-Anthony Towns ever played, but the most valuable in the biggest spot, the most high leverage to do what he did. 0 turnovers. They needed every basket he had. Otherwise, I think could have got away from them in the first half.
Yeah,
I know at halftime, Carl was 3 for 3 from three. The rest of the Wolves were 1 for 15. I mean, they needed him last night, and then Ant closed it out. But yeah, I remember that Brett Favre Vikings run, you know, the Minneapolis Miracle, some cool twin stuff. But for me, last night was, and it's sad, if you're listening from Boston or you're listening from L.A., I am a loser, okay? It was the first round series, but that was the apex of my sports fandom in 35 years in Minnesota, and it was so cool to be around and see it in person.
Well, yeah, that's what I want to know, and I have a bunch of other questions. And by the way, you have to catch a flight, and so
we're
going to be more of a condensed.
If I miss my flight, whatever.
You got all week to get back because the Wolves are going to be able to kick back any sort of sore ankle that Anthony Edwards has. That's the best part about taking care of business early. You can just kind of chill for the next few days, but. What was it like just being in the arena, being in and around the players? We got to get a Chris Finch update from you. Poor Finchie. Finchie sacrificed his body so the Timberwolves could move forward. But like, what was it like? Were you in the locker room afterwards? Like, what was the vibe like?
Yeah, so we're media seats in every arena are different. So we were up a little bit, kind of like in the suite level, which sounds sweet, but not sweet, actually. So you like have to sprint down. Once the game is done. So once the final buzzer was out and you could see the team kind of celebrating, I ran down and got on the court just try to get some video. It was really cool to see. I tweeted this out, but Ant and Carl were doing a lot of post-game media. Fans in Footprint Center, where the Suns call home, chanting MVP for Ant. I asked him after the game, like, you know, that's normal to get MVP chants in your home arena, but to get him on the road, especially when you eliminate a team like that, that's kind of,
it's like Rocky IV, man. Russians are cheering for Rocky.
And it's kind of made me think in the moment of, that's maybe the password to get into the next tierdom of tierdom, whatever.
Tierdom.
Of stardom in, you know, your club that we talked about the other day to begin MVP chants from Suns fans. So that was cool. And then he had a big embrace with Karl-Anthony Towns' dad, big embrace with Mark Laurie, big embrace with Alex Rodriguez. I just thought it was cool. And then the energy, man, just everyone was so in the moment, Phil. But to go back to something you said, it wasn't like champagne in the locker rooms. It was actually funny. It was like little funnel cakes and ice cream. It was just like they won a YBL tournament. There's a big tub of ice cream in the locker room. But as soon as that final whistle was done and Carl and Ant did their stuff, all those players like kind of sprinted through the tunnel back to go see how Finchie was doing. They were all in the locker room. I mean, I guess Shams had it and John Krasinski wrote a great article, but yeah, Finch like blew out his knee.
Yeah.
And I think if you go watch the replay, this is a take, but you know, Finch is always standing up and stuff, but I thought Finch kind of threw himself in front of Mike Conley to try to catch him as Devin Booker just hip checked him out of bounds. And it sounds cliche and nerdy, but I don't know. I think Finchie kind of sacrificed himself to make sure that Mike was okay. And that sounds dumb, but I think this whole team this season has been about sacrifice. I think Carl sacrificed, Rudy sacrificed, Mike's, you know, took a pay cut, right? Like Ant has sacrificed a lot too. And it's a special team. It really is. Like this is not just, they didn't buy a couple wins. They didn't get lucky. They took a team. I mean, the Phoenix Suns probably would have beat other teams in this playoff series. I know they look so bad, but they would have probably beat the Clippers. They probably could have beaten the Mavs. And for the Wolves to just sweep them after what happened in the regular season, game 82 feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, dude, the other thing, let's get on the Ant conversation here, because you brought up the press conference. Anthony Edwards, you were down there, and you had Anthony Edwards and Carl. And in a fun-loving but also dead serious way, Anthony Edward Carl was asked about like sacrificing and whatever.
Great question from Dane. We got to give
Dane
people credit because the internet's taking all our stuff.
Okay, so Dane asked the question that sparks Anthony Edwards interrupting and saying, and we try to keep it PG on Flagrant Hollows here, but he basically says this mother bleeper's got to quit bleeping fouling, man. He's got to quit one. If he quits fouling, he's unstoppable. I'm paraphrasing here. And it was fun-loving Anthony Edwards, but there was a huge percentage of truth to it.
Yep.
But he's 22 years old, and he's able to deliver harsh criticism in a playful way that doesn't make it awkward, but you could tell Carl sitting there. Carl had like a little brother look on his face like, yeah, you know, he's kind of right. And I think just my grander point here is, the most palpable dynamic for me on the court, off the court, is how this entire team and organization has taken on the personality of Anthony Edwards. They don't wilt in big moments. They rise up. They don't take themselves too seriously. They have fun. But when it's time to be serious, it's nails. It's a bunch of dogs on this team. Like the team is Anthony Edwards' personality. Everyone has slotted in to either support him or to just sort of follow his lead. And last night was the best example of it, where he sort of gets everyone else involved for the first three quarters. And then it's time to, as he said to Scott Van Pelt a couple nights ago on SportsCenter, go kill everybody. And he winds up with 40 points at the end of the night and a bunch of assists and big rebounds and defensive plays. And to just watch this whole thing morph into the personality of Anthony Edwards and to watch the world discover Anthony Edwards outside of Timberwolves fans is a fascinating phenomenon to me, Kyle.
Dude, he kind of makes you like reevaluate life in the sense of he does everything you want on a basketball court. And then he also just has, I was talking to Britt about this last night, like that killer mentality, that ability to be as close to a Kobe Bryant or a Michael Jordan as possible in those late game situations when really the only offense NBA teams can run or do run is just ISO, and sometimes ISO against, you know, a double team, and he just hits those big shots. But then also his ability to lead. I mean, the game was awesome. The result was awesome. This season was awesome. But the reason I want to point out that question from Dane is because I think that post-game audio clip of 80 seconds is as meaningful to anything Ant's ever done on his resume. He's got a movie and shoes, and now he's in the second round of the playoffs, and he more 30-point games in the playoffs than Kevin Garnett. He, on the stage, on the biggest stage, I mean, that was broadcast all around the world, that post-game thing, he showed you how he took the baton from Carl, which was a big question coming into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it by being honest, but also loving. You know what I mean?
And Carl is 100% in on it and on board with it.
Bingo.
It's not like this weird, awkward transition, which always happens with every other, like any other situation. Kevin Love's got to get out of here. He gets offended.
Yep.
Oh, they're going to save the 5-year max for Ricky. I'm out of here. Peace out, right? Stephon Marbury. What? Well, I want this, that. Like, credit to Carl for just kind of being okay with the whole thing and putting together maybe his most meaningful postseason performance last night.
It's so cool. It's so cool to watch Ant, because in that back and forth, you know, it's a question to Carl from Dane, but Ant kind of interrupts it. And then there was that sheepish, like you said, little brother moment where Carl kind of has his head down. He's like, well, I was trying to, you know, play a little more defense, which is what they've asked Carl to do all series and all season. Mm-hmm. And I think that was kind of him being like, well, you know, I tried. And then Ant's like, just kind of leans back and his wife beat her and was just like, hey, quit bleeping fouling.
Yeah.
But you know what? And for all the talk that we've always had on this show or locally, especially locally, that those two really do love each other. Like they really do get along and they really have become this 1-2 punch. I think a lot of people think that's just talk. That's, you know, Ant says it all the time, man. Carl's the best offensive player on this team. I think Ant means it. I think Ant really thinks that. Ant knows that he's going to get the last shot and that he's a killer. But yeah, I was really happy for Carl too, because we've been hard on, you know, people have been hard on this show, hard in general. And a lot of that criticism has been deserved. You know, you play 8-9 years in the league and you don't get out of the first round. You just, it's natural to get criticism no matter how nice of a guy you are. But as Dane pointed out last night again on our pod, he is like the nicest guy. And he also played, in my mind, 3 out of the 4 games. He was super important, like super, super important in those first quarters, those third quarters. Outside of Ant, he was pretty much the only guy making threes in this series. Nikhil had one game, but last night, again, in the biggest spot, you don't want to give the Suns any life. You don't want to have to go back and play any more games, especially after the whole Finchie thing. He kind of helped Ant close it out in a game two where Rudy Gobert couldn't really play because he was in so much foul trouble. So Carl had to kind of shift back to playing the five. I just thought it was a great night for Carl, a great night for Ant, and it was really cool to let those two kind of close it out on the post-game podium.
What was the, I don't know, maybe this got sort of lost in just the big picture of it all, but my favorite sequence, and I think everyone's favorite sequence, happened with 2.5 minutes left.
I'm going to dim the light.
Dude, light up a cig. Put that, what hotel are you at right now?
Undisclosed.
Are there robes? Go to the closet, put the robe on.
Lotion. Anyway, keep going.
So 2.5 minutes left, and the Wolves are up 113-111. The Wolves have a lineup of Cat at the 5, and then Jade McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Mike Conley, Anthony Edwards. Kind of a death lineup. Like, it's kind of a 5-out death lineup.
Yep.
And the Suns don't have a center out, so it's two teams that are going small, going switchy, and it's a close game. So 2.5 minutes left, 113-111. Suns season's on the line, and the Suns put together an amazing possession, I thought, where they dump it into KD in the post. Conley's on KD, so Cat has to help.
Yep.
And that opens up a spin cycle that usually would result in a wide-open three somewhere, right? And it's the Suns execute tic-tac-toe passing around the perimeter, and the Wolves execute perfect help defense. And Nikhil Alexander-Walker intercepts this pass in the corner for a steal and a transition moment that Anthony Edwards takes for a Michael Jordan-esque tomahawk dunk. And again, like, still 2 minutes left in the game and the Wolves are up by 4. But that felt like such a soul-crushing 2 possessions where you thought you were going to get a wide-open 3-pointer and you're the Suns. Instead, it's a steal and Anthony Edwards posterizes you, and now you got to call a timeout. Like, inject that entire sequence right into my veins. What was it like in the arena when that happened?
I was standing up at this point. I had gone about 46 minutes of following media protocol, and then I just said bleep it and started to be really impassioned because it was, as many have said, it literally epitomized this team and this season, right? in the biggest spot, we are going to play the best league-leading defense. And then on the other side, this kid who is becoming a man-child, who is starting to get MVP chance from opposing arenas, is not only going to get a bucket, right? I mean, that's just basic basketball 101 in that spot. Like, if we can get a stop and a score, probably kind of start to steal this thing. But he scores in ways that absolutely strip your soul and your confidence. That's what a killer does. A killer takes your life away. And Ant, based on his team's defense, right, he's embraced being part of a team concept. Carl has embraced. I mean, Carl on that double, if he doesn't double, Durant might hit a little. Durant hit every shot he took over Mike Conley last night. He probably ties up the game. Good defense by Carl. Great extra play by Nikhil. And then to come down and have Ant score the way he did. He also dunked on Kevin Durant, by the way. Like, Kevin Durant, total business decision. But that was a moment. And that just, I don't know if they make team DVDs anymore after the season, but that would be the first play on the team DVD would be all five guys as one on defense. Ant with one of his highlight top five thunderous dunks of his career. It was cool to watch because then Frank Vogel took a timeout, Phil. Yeah. And to watch the Wolves walk back to their huddle and Ant, and he's barking at everyone and his teammates are loving him. And to watch KD walk back to his huddle, just super dejected. That's, I saw all that, and it was awesome to witness.
You know, it's funny. I was watching some of the national shows this morning, just trying to get a feel for what the commentary is. And predictably, it's like 90%. What's wrong with Phoenix? KD once again comes up short in playoffs, this or that. And, you know, what could they have done or what do they need to do? Players are kind of throwing cryptically Frank Vogel under the bus, but Frank Vogel might say, I saw somebody tweet this out, a genius point, that Frank Vogel's kind of a grinded out defensive coach. Go back to his days with the Pacers, and they gave him like a Mike D'Antoni roster. So just like the whole thing has felt kind of weird. But sometimes the answer is you're just forced to pass the baton because there's somebody else coming down the pipeline that's younger, better, bigger, faster, and ready to take it from you. Like, to me, the story should be less about what's happening to Phoenix. Kevin Durant's 35 years old. This is what happens in the NBA. And Anthony Edwards is taking it from him and them. So, but the other thing that was interesting, Kyle, is after the game, KD came, made a beeline right for Anthony Edwards, walked right up to him, dabbed him up on the court, and then after the game said all sorts of glowing, praising things in the press conference. So KD, very much a passing of the baton moment on the court and in the press conference afterwards. And dude, we may have to revisit. 2 days ago, we did our updated NBA pecking order. Like, how many players are definitively better than Anthony Edwards? And Kyle's internet just took a crap here, so he'll jump back in. We may need to revisit that. From 48 hours ago, I think what we agreed upon was definitively better players than Anthony Edwards. Jokic, for sure. Like, it's hard not to put Jokic on that list. Luka Doncic, for sure. There's Kyle back here. And I think we agreed that Giannis, when healthy, is on that list. And then we sort of went 50-50 on Jason Tatum. Man, like, if you're going to give me the version of Anthony Edwards that we just saw in that Suns playoff series, we'll see in this next round, because Denver's on the horizon. Jokic is such a different player, so it's tough to like really compare the two, but it's going to be really interesting after this next round where we put Anthony Edwards. I was just monologuing about our conversation from a couple days ago. Like, dude, we may have to
read my mic to just absolutely bad. Whatever. We're
but
back.
Dude, we may need to revisit, even from 48 hours ago, the how many players right now are definitively better than Anthony Edwards. Like, if you were to say right now, give
it's
me the version
five.
We just saw.
Yep,
it's like
anymore.
Two or three right now.
Yep.
This version. And by the way, we're going to get to see Jokic and Ant if the Nuggets can close out this series. That's going to be such a war. Oh, my God.
You know what was cool about last night? We talked about this. I talked about this with Britt a little bit because he's such a historian and basketball junkie. But they won this series because Ant figured out that triangle, that gap help, that coverage. But they won this series because Anthony Edwards embraced being a facilitator and a playmaker and playing team basketball.
Yeah.
But they won last night's game because Anthony Edwards just went back to who he probably is at his core, right? Like, he tried to do the doubles coming, I'm going to throw it to everyone in the first half, and his teammates were 1-for-15 from three. And after the game, he talked about this, like, he still trusts his teammates and he loves his teammates, but you know what he said? He's like, hey, they might just not have it tonight. Closeout games do add a little bit of pressure, even if you are the team up 3-0.
Yeah.
And he was like, I tried the facilitating thing. I tried being a good teammate, good sport, but I'm going to get 15 in the third. I'm going to get 16 in the fourth. I'm going to have two outstanding blocks. I mean, there was a little poetry for me that the final play of the game, the final recorded stat, was him just stuffing Devin Booker again.
Yeah.
And then from my seats, just absolutely letting that man know that he took his chain. Which is meaningful, right? Because that Team USA stuff this summer, I think Anthony Edwards has solidified himself in that starting lineup.
Yes.
But to do all of those things, it was cool. Because, again, they don't get this far without him trusting and all the tutelage he's gotten from Ricky Rubio and Patrick Beverley and D'Angelo Russell and Mike Conley about how to kind of be more of a well-rounded guard. But then last night, it was just things he was born with. And that's being a killer, hitting late-game shots, and not letting a team full of stars, and Bradley Beal is his own case, but Kevin Durant has won a title. Devin Booker has been to the finals, and to just absolutely gut them on a worldwide stage was cool to see.
Yeah, man. I got to get a Chris Finch update from you. I saw some photos and videos from the locker room coming out here, but real quick before we do that, a shout out to our new friends at Autograph. So this is a cool app, man. It's a place where you can do the things that you already do as a fan, like read articles from your favorite teams, blogs, and publishers, listen to the top podcasts, talk about your favorite team, all in the Autograph app. You can get ranked and level up and accumulate points and unlock flex-worthy rewards curated exclusively for you, like discounted tickets, signed memorabilia, and much more. It's the Autograph app, available in the Apple Store, the Google Store. If you use the code word SKOR, S-K-O-R, you can access the newly launched Timberwolves community. So download the app, use the code word SKOR, and check out the newly launched Timberwolves community. S-K-O-R is that referral code. So what can we...
Jim just texted me this.
Jim Pete with the sunglasses. Let's go.
But before we go to Finchie, just now that Jim's texting me mid-pod, I also thought it was cool, too. I mean, you can only really be on the bus right now if you have feelings and you experience emotions, because there's no – the haters are done. Like, this was, to me, the final boss, the final monkey off their back of getting to the second round for the first time in 20 years. They still have 12 written on the whiteboard, along with someone drew a pretty funny-looking broom. But they have a bigger purpose here. They want to win a title. This team actually has a chance to win a title, and you and I will talk about that, I'm sure, over the next couple weeks. But it was really cool, as soon as the game was done, to see all the love that Jim Pete and Michael Grady got, because it was their last game calling this. You know, now it becomes a whole national televised series. There's no Bally's. You know, maybe Jim and Grady will do some other stuff. We'll have Jim on the pod, I'm sure. But
Yeah, Jim's cool going to stay on this pod for sure. Yep.
It was cool to see the love they got. Like, at the final buzzer, a lot of people showing them love, and I know Jim and Grady felt it. But I know, as a fan, too, living out, you know, away from my hometown and my family and my friends, like, those guys are kind of family, right? Like, they're in my living room a lot of nights telling me about basketball and calling games for my favorite team. So I want to take a second to show those guys love, because they are... I could be a fan of the Shanghai Sharks or an Australian water polo. Like, those are the two best guys calling a sport and calling games in any sport. And they're fantastic. So,
you know, I will say I'm going to miss those guys on the telecast. And I do wish that we could get, I understand the NBA needs to protect these massive national TV deals that drive the league. Totally get that. And that's why they end the local telecast after the first round. It'd be awesome if we, and yeah, we're going to have Jim Pete as a regular here throughout the playoffs, like we have the past 2 months. But if there is a consolation prize, I don't believe we've ever had Mike Breen calling. Like, I don't know if he like accidentally called a game against the Nuggets last year, but if the Wolves can keep going and we can get like deep playoff Mike Breen yelling bang when Anthony Edwards knocks down one of those threes.
Oh my God, dude.
Give me that consolation. Bang! Maybe a double bang?
If Anthony Edwards gets a double bang. I can't remember what that commercial says, how many hours till you call your doctor, but it would be a moment for sure. But yeah, Jim and Greedy to go out on a high note, to have the guy in the face paint and the green hair doing stuff on the broadcast. But yeah, and Leah B and Marnie and all those people, they did such a good job of covering my favorite team, and shout out to them. But yeah, back to Finchie.
How does this work? So he's gonna get surgery. You know, people were like acting like he wasn't gonna be able to be around anymore. We can still like put him in a leg brace, can't we?
I've talked to different people on that. Again, we don't want to speculate on it, but I will say, being in the arena again, you could see it immediately because, you know, the Suns are full court pressing. Mike escapes and gets the ball and runs up the sideline, whatever. We've talked enough about him. We don't need to talk about Devin Booker anymore because, buddy, you're not playing. But he just hip checks Mike pretty hard. And I think, in my mind, watching it, Finch tries to catch him because you don't want Mike to just shoot off into the second row. And then when he went down, me, Britt, and Dan, like, we knew it immediately. And Finchie's pretty poker-faced. He was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, it was bad.
And it was, again, he's not dead. Finchie will be back. But to see the way that every single person on that team kind of came around him, like it was Simba's dad, that was a really cool moment. I mean, they literally love that guy. And as someone who has been very pro Finch and received feet, you know, we've gotten some criticism on that. Jim's right. And Britt's right. And now I'm going to be right. It's nothing against anyone else that's come and gone in this franchise, but Chris Finch is the best coach the Minnesota Timberwolves have ever had.
Yeah.
And his impact and the way that those guys, after winning a playoff series and getting a monkey off their back, all sprinted to kind of see how, you know, their dad was doing was really cool. But in the moment, it was really scary because you didn't know if he got a concussion. You knew his knee got taken out, but Finch doesn't ever really show much emotion, and he was in so much pain. And I don't know what happens now.
Wasn't there like a coach in March Madness a few years ago that was like on a cart, right?
No, he like sat on a chair. I would imagine this will be reckless, but I would imagine maybe he gets a surgery or can't go to games one and two, and then maybe on the sidelines for three. I mean, there's like a safety thing.
What if we put him like in the second row? So
Glenn seats.
Wait. Well, but here's the thing. But you're gonna have a Larry David moment where it's like his leg's gonna be sticking out, and he's gonna trip Shaq.
But it was cool because going back to Ant and just how he is able to live in a moment as a 22-year-old. I mean, you've been to games, Phil. I've been to my fair share. Anyone listening has gone to a game. I was so emotional and like just in the moment, because it's a close game. You're trying to close it out. I'm not like writing notes or sending tweets. Like, I can't think of anything other than just my pure emotion. And when Finchie went down and they kind of threw him on shoulders and carried him off, it was kind of understood that, okay, Micah, Nori, you kind of got to step in here in an incredibly tough spot. 2 minutes left. You're calling the shots now. And Ant went up to a man and just put both hands, double slapped him on the chest. And you could tell he was like, okay, you got this. Like, we'll ride with you now. And that was a big moment, I think, because Micah looked a little nervous when that all happened, thinking like, I have to kind of steer the ship now. And I think Ant, again, is a leader who did it with Carl and has done it with Rudy after game three and all his other teammates. I think Ant was like, hey, coach, like, you're the guy running it now, and we got your back. So that was a really cool moment.
That's cool, man. So we have to wrap this because you got to get to the airport, and then I don't know if you heard this, but the Twins have won 7 in a row, so I got to score on our twin show.
Oh, let's go.
Purple Daily.
I never doubted them. That's so cool.
It's great. It's amazing, man. But yeah, we're going to hear from Kyle a lot more this week and throughout the playoffs here, because the Wolves have at least 2 weeks left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, even if they somehow get swept by the Nuggets, like, the Wolves are going to be playing basketball into mid-May for the first time in 20 years, dude.
Nuggets up 3-1 on the Lakers. I think game 5 is tonight.
Lakers have played them tough, too. Lakers have had double-digit leads in most of the games.
But let's say, hypothetically, we think at some point Denver does pull through, so they will have the home court advantage. Mark your calendars now. May 10th and May 12th. It's a Friday. It's a Sunday. games 3 and 4 in what should be a warm springtime in downtown Minneapolis. Tickets go on sale on May 1st, but like, get ready for that, because whatever you thought about Target Center in round one, thinking back again last night to the locker room, this team still has a goal in mind, and it's one goal, and it's win a title. But getting that final kind of burden and embarrassing mark of 20 years without advancing in the playoffs off their back, they have house money now. And I think that makes them extra dangerous. Not only are they good and play awesome defense and have a potential face of the league, they are what Finch always describes of his favorite players, fearless. And I think a fearless team that might now be trying to do it for their coach a little bit, that's going to be the best basketball Minneapolis has seen in 20 years coming up in May.
Dude, perfectly said. He's Kyle on shaky internet in Phoenix. No sleep. Best night of his life watching sports last night. I'm Phil. We appreciate you guys making Flagrant Howls now one of the top 20 podcasts on the Apple charts, the Apple basketball charts. And this is a Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.